You're listening to Hump Day News and Rumors on Mousecapades Radio.
Get ready for something majestic.
The following is an original production of the Mousecapades Radio Network.
Studios. Here are your hosts.
Happy Hump Day, Mousecapades listeners. This is Vicky, and I'm here with Stephanie, Christy, and Rebecca. We pray that you're all staying safe, happy, and healthy. This is episode 920, and you are listening to the number one podcast that entertains that space between your ears, the Mousecapades and More podcast.
If you're looking to book a trip, we'd be glad to help. Just text Vicky, Chrissy, Rebecca, or myself, Stephanie, at 636-373-4497, and we'd be happy to get with you to design a magical vacation. A small refundable deposit of $200 will hold your Disney resort and ticket package, or we can quote a destination of your choice, so contact one of us today.
So, as we grow closer and closer to Tiana's Bayou's adventure opening, hopefully it's going to be open when you're there, Rebecca.
I hope so.
Disney just keeps like dangling the carrot kind of thing, you know, like telling us a little bit more and a little bit more. I actually need to watch some videos because apparently there's some really cool like videos of the animatronics. Have any of you guys watched that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram.
Okay. So that's what I need to be watching.
Amazing.
So they have told us some of the animatronics that are going to be there. Babalia the Beaver, Rufus the Turtle. These names crack me up, by the way. Apollo the Raccoon, Gritty the Rabbit, Timoleon the Badger, and Bo the Possum. And then besides these furry critters, of course, there has to be frogs because the princess and the frog. And some of the frogs that are going to be in there, they have their own band, apparently. Philippe the Frog is the band leader. Can you tell I've never seen this movie all the way through? That's embarrassing to admit.
Oh, you need to.
I know.
It's a good one.
Myra the Frog plays a flower like a trumpet. Mondo the Frog plays the conga drums, as well as Isabel the Green Tree Frog also plays the conga drums. They're going to keep revealing things to us a little by little. Are you guys have any guesses as to when do you think that it's going to open?
I think June the 10th.
Well, you have a very specific guess.
There's something going on at the other parks.
Mm-hmm. Each of the parks has something going on June the 10th, but there's nothing specific for Magic Kingdom.
And that was my guess, but from before, because that would be smart of them. Remember, Steph, when they did Remy's and Tron, maybe? No, it was Remy's and something. They did them on the same time so that the crowds kind of dispersed evenly, where this way it will be dispersing the crowds by four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also, I mean, that makes sense and would be great for them to do. But I feel like Disney typically likes to keep you trickling in. Like, I'm going to open something this month and then next month I'm going to make you go, oh, I have to come back.
That's true, too.
And then the next month and then the next month.
So what you're guessing, like July then?
Maybe.
Chrissy?
I still think it's going to be June. I just don't know a specific date. Because didn't Splash Mountain originally open in June?
Ooh, now that I don't know.
I think it was a June date.
Maybe so.
I saw a picture the other day of some of the siding where they're hanging up like the Critters Corner signs and different things. And one of the signs said Briar Patch. Did anybody else see that?
I did see that.
Is that real?
But I didn't know why.
I don't either.
I didn't know that if they're leaving it.
Well, I think it's supposed to be replaced. The Critter Coop is supposed to replace the Briar Patch.
Okay.
Well, there's two stores that are going to be redone to meet the new Tiana's Bayou theme. And this week, they gave us a little bit more information about it. Critter Coop and Tiana's Bayou General Store are the two stores. That's the names. Not a lot was said about this little shop, but there's some interesting signage placed right outside of it. The sign has house rules for the store. It advertises cooking classes, quilting, and more. Definitely makes you a little bit curious. And then Tiana's Bayou General Store also makes us wonder what it's going to sell, because like an old fashioned general store typically sells things like, you know, anything at all, you know, bedding, cookware, food, they've got it all. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see, because I can't imagine that that's what they're going to be selling at that store, but does make you think. The theme's cute though.
It'll be very interesting.
Yeah, if you follow the Disney World ambassadors on Instagram, one of them actually had a sneak preview of some of the merchandise. She had a shirt and a pair of ears.
Wow. We're happy to come and do a preview for them, Disney, if you would like us to.
Indeed. I'm all about the ears, but she had a sneak preview of the ears that will be for sale.
Princess and the Frog is one of Joey's favorite movies of all Disney movies. And I think that's so interesting, but that's always been one of his favorite movies.
That is interesting. I wonder why. How old was he when it came out?
I don't remember. He was pretty small. I don't know what year it came out, but he was pretty small the first time that he saw it, but he has loved it ever since the first time he saw it. He loves that little lightning bug.
Oh, yes. I do too.
He loves the alligator and just the music. It's really neat.
That's cool.
See, it scares my kids a little bit.
I can see that.
I'm trying to find this story and I can't find it.
Yeah, I was trying to look for it too real quick because I just looked on Instagram and they showed all the new signage, but I do feel that I did see something about the old signage.
Like somebody had moved it and they were going to leave it there in memoriam. I want to say it was something like that, which I feel like is a really cool thing.
I mean, it would be neat if they left it.
Yeah.
We'll just have to make a trip and find out.
That's right. I'll scout it out on June the 10th.
I was going to say, I think you're going to be there before all of us.
As Brad, Stephanie, and Matt discussed last week, the DAS, Disability Act System Pass, will be seeing some changes. Unfortunately, the changes were brought on by people abusing the DAS system. This shouldn't surprise any of us, but it does make us sad that people take advantage. The misconception of the DAS Pass is that guests get to skip the line and go to the front. It isn't the case. People using the DAS Pass still have to wait, but they don't have to stand in the line. It is meant to help individuals with issues that cause them to not be able to stand in line for long periods of time. Disney can't ask for doctor's notes because of HIPAA, but a guest can choose to share their medical information if they want to do that. The DAS will not be available in person in the parks anymore after May 20th. DAS times are valid until the park or attraction closes for the day. Guests may be given one or two DAS passes ahead of time before being able to book their next DAS pass. It is intended for guests unable to wait in the convention line for an extended period of time due to a developmental disability like autism or a similar disability. Some guests that have disabilities, such as those in wheelchairs, are still able to wait in lines.
Vicky, Chrissy, and I have all used the DAS Pass for family members that truly needed this pass. So I'm going to try to sum up to help our listeners better understand the DAS Pass. Disney does not have a qualifying list of conditions because every disability is different. That's why Disney has trained cast members to determine what guests really need with the DAS Pass. The DAS Pass has increased in request so that it's gotten to be the one that is asked for most of all at Disney World. So that's why Disney has had to make some changes. Here's what you need to know. Guests must enroll in DAS with a virtual video meeting, not in person at the park anymore. New DAS enrollments will be valid for 120 days, starting from the date of registration, which is double the previous 60 days. New enrollees who register between now and May 19th will have up to 30 days to use the service. Guests may only book one active return window at a time, although you can hold one virtual queue boarding group at the same time. Disney is increasing the number of specially trained cast members to help guests with other access needs find the right accommodations.
This was a big story, so I split it up in three pieces. So Disney recognizes that there are different disabilities, but not all disabilities are going to actually qualify for this pass. It's intended solely for people who cannot wait in the line. So the cast members will be able to help you determine what options are available to you using this using the virtual chat. And then they're also telling you the other things that they offer for people that have disabilities. So they have an interpreter that can help you with American Sign Language for select activities. You need to inquire about those, or obviously if you have an agent, we can do that for you. There's Disney handheld devices to provide assistive listening captions and visual descriptions for guests to be able to hear with hearing impairment. There are Braille guidebooks and maps, sensory guides for attractions, guides for experiencing the park with a mobility device, single stall restrooms with room for mobility devices and a companion to assist, a variety of other queue options such as rider switch, single rider, and stroller as a wheelchair. Service animals are welcome in all attraction queues, but may not be allowed to ride some of them. And if a guest is found to be falsely seeking a DAS pass from here on out, you will receive a lifetime ban from Disney World and Disneyland. And I actually think it's all Disney parks. So not to say that your wheelchair is not a disability, but your wheelchair can hold you until you, so there's no need for you to go in the line or not go in the line. And so that is where this is going to start to get things weeded out.
Right. There are very few queues that a wheelchair cannot go in.
Correct.
And I thought they already didn't allow you, right?
Right. There's, I want to say the last time I used a scooter, which was 2 years ago.
Yeah, when we went.
Mm-hmm. I think there was only one queue that I could not use. Technically, Living with the Land was a queue that I couldn't bring the scooter in, but I just transferred and I just walked because the wait was not that bad.
I was going to say.
Space Mountain, you had to transfer
into a regular wheelchair, right?
Into a regular wheelchair. Once I made the mistake of bringing the scooter into that queue, and that was a disaster. But once I used the wheelchair as kind of a walker, because I needed it more as a walker, and that was fine. I mean, because I needed it more, I could stand and walk. But there are very few queues that you can't not bring a mobility device.
Well, I thought that the DAS already did not let guests who had mobility issues, like you couldn't get a DAS pass for that.
Correct.
And the changes, I know people are very upset about the changes. The only thing we said, I think it was in your part, Chrissy, it said somewhere that because of HIPAA, they cannot ask for a doctor's note. But if it's anything like Universal has a partner that requires you to get the doctor's note and submit it to them.
Correct.
Then after they approve you, you get this like card that says, okay, now you can ask Universal for your pass, and then Universal has to approve you. And I thought that's kind of what Disney was going towards.
Not yet. Not at this point.
They did say if you were willing to relinquish that and give that information, that's on you.
Michael's almost 20 for 17 years now. I have said my son is on the autism spectrum. Here's our documentation. And I don't want to go off on a spider web here, but to look at my son, he quote unquote looks normal.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't ever want anyone to say that we are taking advantage of a situation.
Right.
But when Michael needed a DAS pass, he needed a DAS pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were chatting before the podcast, we haven't had to use one in a couple years. I don't know that at almost 20 years old, my son would need one. We're going in December. I don't know that we will apply for it. The last couple of times we've gone, crowd levels have been manageable. We've also paid for Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes. It's just part of how we budget for our trips. It may not be something that I have to do, but in the past, I've always provided documentation to Disney to say, my son has sensory processing disorder. He could have a meltdown. My son has cracked his head open because he's had a meltdown. I don't want my son to have a meltdown because when he was little, he couldn't handle the high-pitched noise in Soarin'. Soarin' was a huge trigger for him. He hated that cue. And the thought of waiting in line for 45 minutes with him, he could handle some lines, but Soarin' was one that he couldn't. Peter Pan was one that he couldn't. Those are two of the longest waits.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I had to remove myself from the Facebook group that was one of the Walt Disney DashPass group. And I had always been on there before because they did offer some suggestions and some ideas that I thought I might be able to use for clients, you know, that had different disabilities, maybe some that I wasn't so familiar with. But I'm going to tell you that after these changes came about, and I feel like there are some major changes, but at the same time, they aren't that different from the way it was always supposed to be. I had to remove myself because it just got unbelievable. The things that people were saying and the things that they were insinuating. And I was just like, I can't do this.
And people are still going to try to cheat. They don't care about the threat of a lifetime ban.
I know.
I really thought that they were going forward with the thing like Universal. And so now I'm like, what did they even change?
Right. So to me, you know, I have nothing to fear. If my son says, Mom, I feel that this is something that I need, I can go with paperwork and say, or, you know, I can present, you know, we can have this video conference and say, this is what we have. We have doctor documentation. He was diagnosed, you know, I can go with confidence.
The only part that they changed that I don't like about this right there is they got rid of the doing it in the park, because for someone like you, Chrissy, who's like, he'll probably be fine if he gets day one to the park and he starts melting down, you need to be able to go to guest service and say,
right,
we're going to need to do something different.
Right. Because any parent, any care, and this is another thing I don't like, it can't be a caregiver. Any parent or any caregiver of somebody on the spectrum knows it can change
in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
I mean, we can pack the bags, we can pack the car, we can get on the plane, we can have every good intention, but you can go through that turnstile and you don't like the look of the crowd, you don't like the sound, you don't like the smell, something does not go right.
Right.
And thousands of dollars flying out the window.
So maybe they didn't think that through too clearly, because I do know one of the people that Gina had on as a client, she didn't get it ahead of time because she said exactly that. Well, he, you know, he goes to our local amusement park and he goes to our local zoo. I think he'll be fine. And after the first day, she was exasperated and she had to buy a stroller first of all, because he was trying to run from the crowds. And so they were able to go and take care of that. So you're right, Steph, that's not good. So hopefully they'll, rethink that portion, because
maybe some feedback from parents and caregivers.
I think if you've never been around a child, or let's face it, we've probably all been around it, but you didn't realize that you were around a child with autism. My son was never diagnosed. He self-diagnosed himself. And I honestly, I think he's right. But I think his ADHD was more prevalent. And so that's what we dealt with. But we're realizing now as an adult how he's so adamant about, like, things have to be this way or whatever. Don't change the thing if we didn't tell him in advance. It's always been a joke that we write things on the marker board on the refrigerator. Well, now we have one of those electronic boards, so we put everything. So, I mean, these are things that I don't think people realize.
Yeah. When Joey was smaller, that was one of the things that my mother-in-law said after she kept him. She said, there's no way that you could write down all the Joeyisms for somebody. She said, there's no way you could prepare them for everything that would come up. And I was like, no, there's no way.
Right. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
I was going to say.
No, me neither. Mm-hmm. Me neither.
All right. We had a lot to say about that. I mean, There is so much to say about that. I'm still very confused as to why Disney made such a big deal about the changes. And I am a little confused as to what they are.
I really think it's more the media that's making the big deal about it.
I do too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get it if they were going to go with that other system, but no, they didn't. But I also don't think that other system was bad. The way the Universal does it is not bad.
No, I don't think it is.
They pre-screen them. And then after that, if you've passed it, like if you've been able to provide documentation, then you're on to the next round, I guess.
And I know we're moving on, but I also have a friend and his son has a medical condition and he cannot regulate his body temperature. So they get DAS because they can't stand, you know, in a group of people that long. And they do Universal. They also have a season's pass to Six Flags because they live here in Georgia. And apparently if you qualify at Universal, you automatically qualify at Six Flags as well.
Oh, nice.
And it's for a year.
Yeah. He said there were several other parks around the country as well that you just automatically qualify for.
Nice.
And you don't have to keep dealing with the like, right. Well, now I got to wait on hold. Like, it just seems like such a huge inconvenience for everybody to have to do that.
Yeah, that should almost be like a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Only a license showing that you have legitimate reason for the things that you're asking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something to think about.
Okay, so onto a different topic. I get to talk about a character meal. You know, I love those. So 1900 Park Fair is reopened. They were able to greet their first guests since March of 2020. This past Wednesday, it was April the 10th. So that is 4 years later. Everyone is so excited about the reopening of the restaurant. But of course, there's always controversy because can't do anything without that over the characters that are greeting the guests as they visit. The restaurant was refurbished during the time that it was closed. Good thing, because, you know, they had 4 years and the new theming is Wish. But the characters that greet you are Cinderella, Aladdin, Tiana, and Mirabelle. During your visit, you'll be able to make a wish, and then a wish ceremony will happen to try to help your wish come true. And all of the reviewers really loved that the restaurant has a connecting theme for these characters, and it helped guests better understand the character change. As we've mentioned before, 1900 Park Fair serves breakfast and dinner. You can go to Disney's website to read the menu, but the food looks and sounds amazing. If this all sounds great to you, you can have your travel agent reserve a reservation for you because they are now open. We were all a little confused at first about the, like, how they chose Cinderella, Aladdin, Tiana, and Mirabelle. But with the wish theme. But then I wonder, like, are they going to try and incorporate, like, the new movie?
That's what Kaylee said. She's like, but that's that movie. And I'm like, I don't know, Kaylee. I don't work at Disney, so I can't tell you. But that was the first thing.
I feel like they should have, like, one of these characters should have.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen that, like some people have put some videos up of the little process of what they're doing. It's pretty special. And I could see that it's a good thing for the kids. I think that for me, I was just sad about what was in there versus what they were going to put. But this makes sense. And they're trying to move on just like Walt would. So I am trying to make myself move on.
Yeah.
We have been talking the last couple weeks about hurricane season fast approaching in Florida. Disney thinks that you need some advice to prepare yourself for stormy weather during your trip. First, you need to have some type of rain gear like a rain jacket or a poncho. Second, a compact umbrella is always a good idea when you are visiting the parks. Third, a wireless phone charger is a must. Many guests bring wired battery chargers, but the wireless one is the way to go. Fourth, waterproof shoes are really helpful. The worst thing to do is to have to walk around the parks with squishy shoes. Fifth, a water-resistant bag to carry your essentials is necessary. If you're carrying items to help you on your trip, the last thing you want is for them to get all wet. Sixth, and finally, bring a card game that you can play in case you get stuck inside because of the weather. A game that you can play is Disney's I Found It, Uno, or a plain deck of cards. These are great for family fun.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting, but I think because they had more hurricanes, because, you know, for a while, we would report that there was a possible tropical storm or things coming, but it's become more increasingly common, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Right. They went, I mean, I worked as a cast member for the first time when they closed for the very first time in 1999 for a hurricane. So they went however many years, 28 years without closing. And now it seems like they will shut down if the wind blows. I mean, not that that's bad, but like, I mean, you were there, Vicky, when they shut down for however many days.
Yes.
And that was almost unheard of. I would rather them be safe. So you definitely want to have your wireless chargers, you know, a card game. You want to have things to do in case you are stuck.
Yes.
In your hotel room for a couple of days.
Probably one of the most eerie things was watching them take that, I guess, like house wrap that they use to wrap your house in, to wrap all the kiosks up, and they were closing them early and stuff. That was very eerie to think that they had to worry about that.
Yeah, bringing the trash cans in and the pool chairs in. And I remember being on hurricane duty, that kind of thing. So, you know, locking that kind of stuff down.
We were there during Hurricane Katrina, which it wasn't bad in Orlando, but you sure could see the clouds and see the, you know, see what was going on. And it was actually a great time to be at Disney because there weren't very many people there. But anyway, after weeks of spring break crowds at Disney World, this week guests are watching their ride times decrease. Some rides' wait times went down by 71%, which made some guests very happy. At the Magic Kingdom, the top three ride times were Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at 66 minutes, Peter Pan's Flight at 54 minutes, and Jungle Cruise at 57 minutes. At Epcot, the top three rides were Remy's Ratatouille at 64 minutes, Frozen Ever After at 62 minutes, and Test Track at 54 minutes. And at Animal Kingdom, the top three rides were Flight of Passage at 70 minutes, Navi River Journey at 47 minutes, and Expedition Everest at 26 minutes. At Hollywood Studios, the top three rides were Slinky Dog Dash at 75 minutes, Rise of the Resistance at 61 minutes, and Smuggler's Run at 48 minutes.
That was interesting. Rise of the Resistance was lower than Slinky Dog.
I was thinking that same thing, like, man, how is Slinky still hanging on like that?
He's Slinky.
I know, but Rise.
And Everest was only 26 minutes.
I know. That's crazy. Because I remember when it used to be like 2 hours.
I know.
Wow.
Still one of the best queues, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. VIP or VI pass holder days will be here from May 1st to June 26th at Disney World. These days will include access to new pass holder lounge at Epcot, which is being hosted by the Marrakesh restaurant in Morocco. And I'm pretty sure that's where it was last year as well. It's only going to be open until June 18th, though. So even though the pass holder days are up until June 26th, the actual lounge is only open till the 18th. And they also said that the hours are subject to change. So make sure you're checking in with like cast members. They'd be able to tell you that. Pass holders also receive a 20% discount on purchases at the Disney store. A new pass holder magnet will be coming out. We don't know what that is yet. And I have to tell you that having an annual pass is great. And getting these extra gifts is a nice little bonus too, like magnets, store discounts, restaurant discounts. I was wondering if they didn't mention those this year, but last year during pass holder days, we got 20% at restaurants and then occasional resort discount. Now they've been doing for annual pass holders as well. The one thing that I don't know if I reported on, but I want to make sure that I do tell you guys, when we went on our trip, they were telling us that it's better to use your Chase card discount when you eat at a restaurant if it involves adult beverages, because you get the discount with the adult beverages. The pass holder only gives you the food, not adult beverages. So just in case you were wondering, there you go. Now you know.
Quite interesting. So are you going to be at Disney World on June 21st? Because we need to draw your attention to Magic Kingdom's hours. While Animal Kingdom is typically the park that closes the earliest every day, the calendar says that Magic Kingdom on June 21st is going to close at 7 that evening. Now, it doesn't tell us why it's closing. We know that when Magic Kingdom closes that early, it's usually for like a private event or to celebrate the Disney World cast members. Whatever the reason is, be sure to plan for this if you are going to be in Orlando. So you either need some park hoppers so you can leave Magic Kingdom and get advantage of the fact that it'll be probably a little less busy during the day, or you need to make sure that you do your Magic Kingdom day a different day. Remember that Epcot stays open until at least 9 p.m. So you could hop on over there once Magic Kingdom closes to finish out your evening if you want to continue that peaceful day.
As of Monday, April 7th, pin trading is officially back throughout the Walt Disney World Resort. Guests can now swap pins with cast members wearing pouches and pins or have a board with pins attached. So dust off your lanyards, find your notebooks of pins, and head to Disney. Here are some rules that guests need to know about pin trading. Only official Disney pins may be traded. The main criteria when judging whether a pin is tradable or not is that the metal pin bears a copyrighted mark on the back representing an official Disney pin event, place, location, character, or icon. Even if you only trade one pin a trip, you may just find the Disney pin that you have been waiting for.
So fun.
I don't know that that was a thing before, Chrissy. You'll have to tell me, but I know people used to order big bags of pins off of Amazon and take them with them. So now that it has to have like a copyright.
Back in 1999, Mike, back when pin trading launched for the Millennium Celebration, Mike opened the pin trading cart at MGM at the corner of Hollywood and Sunset. So he used to wear one of those big pin trading vests.
That's cool.
And then does he deny people if he sees a fake?
Oh, yeah. You can deny. I mean, back when the pin trading rules were established, it had to have the Disney copyright, the Disney stamp on the back of it. So anytime you'd get like the eBay or Amazon wasn't a big thing back then. But if you had some of the we would call them scrappers, any of the scrappers, you could deny it.
Wow.
It was a big thing for a while. That was back when Mike opened the pin trading station at the studios. That was even before the hat was, the 100th celebration, before the hat was even built.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally, the pin trading station was literally at the corner of Hollywood and Sunset, back where the...
Oh, the time board was still up.
The time board was there. It used to be literally like a couple of spinning racks filled with pins. And now it's like, it became bigger and bigger the few years that Mike worked there. It just grew and grew and grew.
Well, this week, Disney World fans had the rumors flying. Now that Bob Iger has admitted that the blue sky idea of adding on to the Magic Kingdom is going to happen, fans were taking guesses as to what Disney may be adding. Some believe that beyond Big Thunder Mountain, Disney will be putting a Radiator Springs Cars Land. Others think it's a strong possibility that a Coco-themed area may be coming to the Magic Kingdom. And still others believe that Disney may be adding some Toy Story attractions to the park. While none of this is confirmed, we know that we are excited to see what Disney has in store for the most magical place on Earth. What do you think? I would love to see the villains. That's just my opinion.
Well, and I really thought that's what they had projected at the D23 of 2022. However, and I never thought they would bring the Cars Land to World, but it would fit in to Frontierland better than some of those things.
My only problem is I don't want them to do carbon copies of everything that's Disneyland over at Disney World, make it something unique.
Which is why I don't want them to turn, sorry, Steph, because I know you're excited about this, but that's why I don't want them to turn Dinosaur into Indiana Jones, because that's what makes land so special for me, or one of the things that would make it so special. It really needs to be something new. And I know they've opened a Zootopia thing over in the other countries, but they could still do a different Zootopia thing on our side using those vehicles, like repurposing them. But
because really, how many Americans are going to get to Hong Kong?
I would have been game for that too, Vicky. Absolutely, for a Zootopia ride instead of Dinosaur. But I'm just excited for anything besides dinosaurs.
Oh, sure. But I know there's a lot of people that are just as upset about losing the dinosaur land as they were about Splash Mountain, which I am clearly surprised about.
Of these ideas, I'm actually not, I would not be excited for more Toy Story attractions. It just, like, they have a Toy Story area.
Right.
We already have something. I need something else. So Coco themed area, that sounds great. We don't have anything like that. Like, bring me something new. Yes.
I think Coco would be really neat. Just the colors, the excitement.
Just give us something that we don't have on the West Coast. Give us something different.
They don't have a Villains Land over there.
Right. And I love Toy Story. Like, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love, but we have a Toy Story section, so I do not need another one.
Well, I don't care if they add on to that one, but I don't know where they'd put it.
Right.
In Hollywood Studios. But yes, I agree. I was like, what? Toy Story? Somebody's dreaming or something. I'm not sure. Well, we all know Haunted Mansion was our 2023 March Madness bracket winner for the Mousecapades podcast. And that's no exception with other fans, because this ride is just a popular ride both at Disneyland and at Disney World. However, and I didn't even realize this till this week, that they are adding a store to the Disneyland Haunted Mansion while they're doing that refurb. And so you will be able to have cool Haunted Mansion things. I guess it's like kind of like, what is the name of that store? I know Chrissy knows. Something more, the one right outside our Haunted Mansion.
Memento Mori.
Memento Mori. Yes, thank you. But we know Christmas is 8 months away. I haven't lost my mind completely. But Hallmark, as you all know, puts out ornaments earlier. And so they're going to be releasing some Haunted Mansion ornaments this year. And I thought I was just going to talk about it. And then I realized that it was a really long article. So Steph's going to help me. But the first one that they're going to release is Haunted Mansion singing busts that are from like the singing part of the ride. And the ornament not only lights up, but it plays music. That one can begin being purchased on October 12th. Talk about giving us a long time to get ready. I guess it's so you can save your money, because it's $44.99. The second ornament that will be available on July 13th, it is the Haunted Mansion caretaker with his trusty pooch. And I have to tell you, it's adorable. It also lights up and plays music and some sounds. That one is only $39.99.
Those are some expensive ornaments. I have more.
Yes.
Constant Hatchway is the last one in the sneak peek. She lights up and can be seen wearing her wedding gown and carrying the hatchet. It's also going to be the $39.99 price, and you can purchase it on July 13th as well. If you pair Constance with the rest of this collection, she will have an additional performance. Hallmark will also have some returning favorites. Haunted Mansion Christmas Tree Topper, which models the attraction found at Walt Disney World, is back. Madame Leota Light Up Ornament, or Victor Geist is the organ player. That's going to be an ornament that's going to be back to help adorn Disney fans' trees. You'll want to mark these release dates on your calendar, because Hallmark tends to sell out quickly. We don't want all of you Haunted Mansion fans to miss out on these ornaments.
The Hallmark ornaments are worth every penny. I don't know if you collect them or not, but last year there was the scene from Empire Strikes Back where Han goes into the carbonite, and it was $65, but you press a button and it actually shows Han going into the carbonite, and he goes up, and it's actually him going, ah, it's like a scene from the movie, and it has lights and music, and it's literally $65, and it's too heavy to put on your tree. I only know this because my friend has it, and it's my friend who owns the toy store, and he has it on the shelf at the toy store. It was given to him for his birthday last year, and somebody comes and pushes that button once a week when I work at the toy store, and it plays the whole scene from the movie, and it is a $65 ornament, but it literally plays the scene from the movie. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I'm kind of jealous that I didn't get it, but it sold out.
Yes.
When it was released last summer, like last July or August, but then they were able to get it like when it was re-released right in time for Christmas.
Yeah, I know they do sell out. I was wondering if Matt, so Matt, if you're listening, you need to text me later and tell me if you have the Haunted Mansion Christmas tree topper, because something tells me you do.
Well, these are pricey. They are worth every penny. And I mean, I still have some of the Hallmark Disney ornaments from 25 plus years ago. Definitely collector's item. The details for the 2024 Food and Wine Festival should be released soon. The festival has varied in length since the pandemic, but we don't know why. We don't have exact dates as of yet. One thing we do know, Sheila E. performed in the Eat to the Beat concert series recently, and she has Disney listed for September 20th and 21st. These dates are clearly within the Food and Wine Festival times of a typical year, since Communicore Hall and Communicore Plaza will have their grand opening on June 10th, we know that these two spaces will be available during the Food and Wine Festival. Well, you know that we will keep you on top of the Food and Wine Festival, and we will give you all the details as soon as we have them available to us.
On Saturday, Disney released the operating hours for late April and early May. You will need to check the schedules for each park once you have arrived. As we all know, the hours are subject to change at the discretion of the company. The Magic Kingdom's hours begin at 9, but the closing time has moved from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on weeknights and from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Hollywood Studios' hours begin at 9 and end at 10 p.m. most evenings, with the exception of May 4th, where the park opens at 8:30 a.m. and closes at 10 p.m. Animal Kingdom's hours will run from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on most evenings, with the exception of April the 28th, May the 3rd, and May the 4th, where it stays open until 7 p.m. No changes were made to Epcot's hours as of now.
But we all know those can change, too.
Absolutely.
You always want to check that out. Because, you know, we've all had things happen when we were there. And I don't want that to happen to you. Well, thank you, listeners. And thank you, ladies, for helping me do the show tonight. I want to give a special shout out. I know that Brad gave a shout out to this person last week, but it's Officer Joel at Disney Springs. I just want to thank you so much for being so kind. I had my glasses case out. Chrissy, you know the drill. We do this every time. But something set off in my bag. However, I don't usually bring my laptop to Disney Springs with me when I go, but we were rope dropping and Disney Springs, which is unusual for us. But anyway, we don't know if that's what set off the computer or whatever, but he happened to notice the sticker. I know Brad mentioned this last week and he was so kind and he was talking to me. And then I just appreciated how kind he was being, not that they're ever really mean, but then he gave me a pen and it was so sweet and I really appreciated it. I kept saying, no, you don't have to do that. I just appreciate you being nice. And so super sweet. And I really appreciated that so much. Thank you to everyone that has participated in the March Madness bracket. I know you're thinking we're never going to air this, but we actually are a week from Friday. It's this Friday. It's this Friday because Kaylee's second part of her trip was last week, I think. It's all running together. We're really far ahead now. We've got shows all the way through the middle of May for Fridays. So keeping that in my head, I apologize. I'm trying to keep it all straight. In fact, some of them are even already published by Brad and ready to go out, which is crazy. We're not usually that ahead. If you have not returned your March Madness bracket, I put that back up, or you need me to send you another copy or something through Messenger, please let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to just go with what we have to help decide the final winnings for this year.
And remember, if you participated before, like, you have to listen to what we went through and then redo those, because some of yours might be out and then you need to re-vote for which of the two that made it.
But for when we get to the final ones, I'm just going to use what's there, and whoever's is still in, right, we're going to go from there. Because we were thinking it over and we're like, we can't do, it's one thing to go from 64 down to 32 and then go to 16, but then to only go to 8, that would not be a fun show for anybody, or to go to 4. So we'll just finish it out from that.
Yep. And if you're interested in being a guest on our show, or you've got some questions or comments, you could always text us at 636-373-4497. You can check us out on our social media account, The Mousecapades Podcast on Facebook.
Be sure to listen to Friday's show. We will be sharing the first part of the March Madness bracket. If you would like a free quote, contact Vicki, Rebecca, Stephanie, or myself, Chrissy, at 636-373-4497.
As always, thanks for listening to the number one podcast that entertains that space between your ears, the Mousecapades and More podcast.
Well, ladies, I think it's about that time. Disney love.
Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Second star to the right.
Have a magical day, my friends.